I'm Pastor Tim, and welcome to The Two Greatest. This is episode 1489. Herod who? At times when we read the Bible, we get confused as to who's who, especially if people have the same name. Good old Herod is a great example. Herod was the king of the Jews. I'm talking about Herod the Great. But he was also an Edomite, so he wasn't really a Jew. Edomites were forced to convert to Judaism about a century earlier than that, but it didn't always work well. It didn't always take, especially with Herod. And it only gets more complicated. Rome put Herod the Great in power to keep the peace and to promote Rome. So Herod did that. He made sure the Jewish Sanhedrin, or just the Senate or Assembly, supported him. He killed the existing nobles and he put his own supporters in power. And he had pretty good political instincts. And you need to have those to stay in power. But he wasn't perfect. Herod the Great was friends with Antony, but he was an enemy of Cleopatra. And if you know history, that didn't work out real well. And when Caesar conquered both of them, Herod volunteered to be Caesar's friend instead. And Caesar said, okay. So let's look at good old, bad old Herod who. This podcast is called The Two Greatest after the two great commandments: to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors ourselves. Herod is like the opposite of all of that. And that's the example for us today. Herod did some good things. He was a famous builder. He often dedicated temples to other gods, especially to Caesar, because he wanted to stay on Caesar's good side. He knew who buttered his bread. But in Jerusalem, he built one of the greatest temples of the ancient world of all time. And the Jews appreciated him for that, although they were suspicious. But he was still too much like Rome. The Pharisees didn't like his golden eagle decoration in the temple, and they tried to take it down, so Herod had him killed. And in fact, that's how he dealt with opposition, even his own family. Anyone that provided a threat, just a perceived threat to his power, he had them killed. Wives, kids, friends, anybody that he thought was after him or could threaten his rule. He was also insanely jealous. No one could be the king of the Jews except him. Are you beginning to see where this is going today? In fact, he was such a narcissist, he wanted people to mourn when he died. And so on his deathbed, he ordered that many of the nobles would be arrested and held so that when he died, the nobles would be killed. And then the people would be sad and crying and mourning at his death. But that backfired. They arrested the nobles, but then when Herod died, they released the nobles and there was rejoicing instead of mourning when Herod the Great died. So is it surprising that this guy killed the male babies of Bethlehem? But wait, there's more. There are other Herods. Herod Antipas was the son of Herod the Great, and he inherited Galilee when Herod the Great died. But he inherited not as a king, but as a tetrarch, or a governor. And he did pretty good. He minded his own business, he kept Rome happy, and he stayed in power for a whole generation. But then came John the Baptist. You see, Herod had an affair with his brother's wife, and she wouldn't marry him because that would make him a polygamist, and so he wanted to divorce his wife so he could marry her, and, you know, these were political marriages. So both of these women were princesses whose daddies were neighboring kings, and this Herod's lust caused bad blood between the kingdoms and war, and Herod would have gotten whooped if Rome hadn't saved his backside. And then John the Baptist called him out, and you know the story. He's arrested, and during a drunken, lewd birthday party, Herod Antipas offers the dancing girl half his kingdom, which is a joke because he's not a king, he's a tetrarch. He may be called a king by some, but Rome owns the kingdom, and he can't give it away. But he's wasted, he's drunk, and so the girl needs to ask for something more doable. And so she leaves the room to ask her mom. Now, why isn't her mom there? Well, because in the Mercurius fortress, they had separate dining halls for men and for women. So Herodias didn't see the drunken lust of her husband for her daughter. So she asked for John the Baptist's head, and John the Baptist ultimately loses his head because of this Herod. And the horrible Herods keep coming. There's Herod Agrippa in Acts, who is just called Herod, and he kills James with a sword and arrests Peter. There's also Herod Agrippa II, who is called Agrippa, and he hears Paul at the end. So there are lots of Herods running around. But here's my great question for you. As you hear these stories, what's the greatest take-home lesson for you today? Let's pray. Lord, the Herods are the opposite of life in the kingdom. They're about promoting themselves, not denying themselves. They take care of self, and they'll use whatever they have to stay in power. Lord, we can learn from all the characters of the Bible. Some are good examples of love, T2G, and others we don't want to be anything like them. Thank you for showing us the Antichrist character of Herod's today. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you'll join me tomorrow for episode 1490. And in the meantime, what can we learn about the Herods? Well, great power brings neither peace nor security. No one can prevent God's plans from being carried out. And superficial loyalty doesn't impress people or God. I hope this clears up some muddy waters when you're reading the Bible and you want to say, Herod who?